Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Tainis Daf Yutes. We begin the brand new third perek of Seder Tanios. This perek is referred to as Seder Tanios Elu. The previous perek was Seder Tanios Ketzah. They both begin with the first words in the Mishnah. Each of them has a long Mishnah, and the second perek was one big long Mishnah, and the Gemara is all following that. In the Mishnayis, it's broken up. Same thing over here. The third perek starts with a very long Mishnah, and the Mishnayis, it's broken up. In any event, we're learning today Lilui Nishmas Miriam Aframowitz, Miriam Bat Sachna, and we're also learning Lilui Nishmas Yaakov Shimon HaKalir, Yaakov Shimon Ben Yisrael Chaim. All the shalos we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. So we begin the beautiful third parak with the words, Seder Tanios Elu Ha'omur B'Revia Rishona. That, in the previous parak, which we said, that you have the series of first the Yechidim fast, and then the series of three fasts for Chai Yisrael, then another more serious, stricter three fasts, and then another more serious, stricter seven fasts. That procession, that order of the Tanios, that was only said B'Revia Rishona. Only if the rains don't come. And Gemara will explain the Revi'a Rishona really means, we use the term Revi'a Rishona, the Vilna Gaon says, to apply to all the three rains that don't normally come. The Revi'a Rishona was the Yorah Rishona, the Yorah Shnia, and the Yorah Shlishas. So when those three sets of rains don't come in their times, so then we have that series of progressions of fasting that we mentioned in the previous parak. However, avot tzvachim sheshanu, if you have growths that are growing abnormally, in other words, they started to grow, but now they're going to be ruined unless there is rain coming immediately, as Rashi points out, shenishtanu mimin hagum, they're not growing in the normal way. So he says, tachas chito yotza chuach, instead of wheat, you have some sort of a blighted type of wheat growing. It's not food. Tachas sora, instead of barley, you have basha. Again, you have a not good type of saora. Shaloha yuchitim bishibolim. Now, the Bach deletes this, but the understanding was that it doesn't have kernels inside of it. In other words, the wheat is changed. It's abnormal. Oshuniyach or some other shinoi. In this situation, we go back to the Mishnah now. Masrin alev. We go immediately, miyad, and go and cry out. We say the Tvila Anenu, which is not the Anenu that we say in the Tainis in the Shmona Esrei, but this is the special Tvila Anenu Avinu Anenu. So this is that Tvila that we say at the end of Slichos. So that's one of the definitions of Masrin. We had a whole discussion about this previously in the earlier Dapim as to what Masrin means, but it means that we call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in this situation, Masrin Lemiyad, we don't have a series of fasts that get stricter and more serious, but you immediately start off with the most strictest of fasts, with those last seven type of fast days, and that's also part of Masrian that we fast. The Chayin, likewise, Sheposku Gishomim, Ben Geshem Legeshem, Arboim Yom. If the rain started, but then they stop, and there's a pause of 40 days between the rains, that's going to also be very damaging for the crops, because they need the rain once they start growing. The first rains came, they started growing. Now if you don't have any rains, they're all going to die out. So therefore, Masrian, Malayim, and Miyad. You do immediately, you don't go through this series of progressive, more serious fasting, but you immediately are masrim, which is to call out, say anenu, to possibly blow shofar, and to start with the fasting. Mipnei shimachas betzoros, because this is going to lead, the Gemara will say that this means it will lead, not having these rains in between, will lead to a famine, a makas betzoros. Then, yardu litzmachim, if the rains came, which are good for the tzmachim, however, avalo yardu lilam, but they're not good for the trees, well, we'll explain that there's different levels of rain that come. Some are good for the growths, the plants like the vegetables, but aren't enough for the trees, or vice versa. Or if you have lilam, lo litzmachim, you have rains that are good for the trees, but not good for the other types of grain. Litzmachim would be the tvua, the crops, the vegetables, or the grain. Or you have lezeh lezeh, you have rains that are good for both of them, avalo leboros leshichin ulemoros, but you don't have enough rain to go and fill up different types of cisterns and reservoirs that they would have. The boros are usually pits, the shichin are various types of ditches, and the moros are various types of underground caverns where the water would be stored. So then, this is dangerous. If you don't have any of these three properly, masrin alimiyat, that's something that we do the masrin immediately. We don't wait. We don't have a series of progression of progressively more serious fasting, but we start off with the most serious fast right away. If a city doesn't have any rains for it, even though surrounding cities do have rain, they go and are masrin right away. The pasuk tells us, pasuk from Amos, which we discussed previously, v'imtarti alir echos, I'll give rain to one city and I'll not give rain to another city, and chelko achas timote v'gomer. One field will get rain, one field will not get rain. So this isn't necessarily good. It's not saying that the surrounding cities are good. They could be bad as well. They have too much rain. But in any event, even if one city doesn't have rain, so then it is that city's responsibility to be masri and miyat. They go and call out immediately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We turn to Yutes Avon Aleph, and we continue in the Mishnah. It says, Oso ir misano umasras, v'chol svivoseha misanos v'lo masrios. In this situation where one city has no rain, even though the surrounding cities do have some rain, so then that city that doesn't have the rain, they immediately, misana umasrios, they do both the fasting as well as the anenu. However, v'chol svivoseha, the surrounding cities, they have to be concerned. Maybe this will come to them as well. So misanos, they fast, however, v'lo masrios, they don't add the anenu. They don't do the additional things that the city that actually has no rain is doing. Rabbi Kiva has the exact opposite. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no, the opposite. Masrios, the surrounding cities, they are doing the Masrios. They'll daven, they'll say the Anenu Avinu Anenu type of tefillah and other things, however, Lomasanas, but they don't have to fast at this point. Likewise, the Mishnah says, Zuchain ir, sheyesh bo dever, o mapolis, if a city has a plague, dever is a certain type of plague, or mapolis, nebuch, there are very strong winds, hurricanes, and you have collapsed buildings, so then that city, also ir, that has to go and take this calamity very, very seriously, misana, they fast, umasras, and they do all the other things that are associated, blowing the shofar, the anenu, etc. However, the surrounding cities, they only have to do, according to the Tanakhama, misanos, they just fast, umasrios, it's not as serious, so they don't have to do the other crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the city that's actually under attack, so to say, has to do. Rabbi Kiva again reverses it. Rabbi Kiva Meir, Masriyos, no, they call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, lo and status, but they don't have to fast. Now, how do we define, we just said, v'chein ir sheyesh bo dever o mapolis. So how do we define dever, a plague? What's the definition of a plague according to this Mishnah? So ezo dever, so ir, if you have a city of a significant size, hamotzio chamesh mios ragli, it has 500, some say either foot soldiers, or some say it has men that are strong men. In other words, it's a certain size city that has that population. And if you have Nebuch in that city, v'yotzu mimeno gimel meisim begimel yomim zachar zeh, and you have three people dying, one person on day one, one person on day two, one person on day three. So this demonstrates that this is something that is a real plague. It's not just a coincidence, not just a bad luck, so to say, but this is something is going on here. That in a city that has a significant population of 500 men, you have starker men that are dying not expectedly, and you have one dying one day, one dying the next day, one dying the next day. That's a demonstration that this is a dever that we have to be concerned about, and Masri Miyat. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings down that if you have a larger city, so then you just maintain this ratio. Let's say the city has 1,000 ragli, it has 1,000 foot soldiers, so then you'd have to see two people dying on three consecutive days, two dying, two dying, two dying, for this same concern to apply. Mishnah continues and says, Al Elu Masriim Chomokum, the following, not only does the city that it impacts, but all even the surrounding cities call. All of these places have to go and sound the alarm and be concerned over here that this is a magefa, this is a problem that is affecting all of Kaisal, even though only one city saw it. What are some examples of this? Alashidofon, Rashi and Chumash tells us that this is a ruach mizrachis, an easterly wind comes, and it somehow has the ability to destroy all the tvua. So, Ala Yerokon, there are two different ways to understand it. Rashi says it's a choli, which means something like a jaundice. If there's jaundice, if there's a certain type of illness that's going around, it's contagious, so therefore you have to call out to everybody. Others explain this as it means, again, some sort of a yellowing of the crops. In other words, the crops are being blighted in some way. V'ala arbe v'ala chosil, various type of attacks of locusts. The arbe and the chosil are different types of locusts. The Gemara in Tanaisha we'll discuss a little bit, but on Daf Chav Beis we'll discuss more exactly the different type of locust, arba, grasshopper attacks, and what the concern is. If you see even a little bit of the arba, it means that a lot of them are coming, and therefore everybody has to be very concerned. If you have wild animals that are attacking human beings, that you have to be concerned about. If you have an army, a marauding army coming through, so you got to certainly be concerned about that, not only in the one city that they're attacking. So in all of these situations, you have to, everybody has to go and be masriyan, because they came to city A, but they're going to be in city B, city C, in the very immediate future. So therefore, everybody has to call out right away. The Mishnah tells us, one time there was a tremendous need to have a fast, and the Zakenim from Yerushalayim, they spread out to all the cities in Eretz Yisrael to declare a fast. Now, why did they do this? What happened? Al Shinira Kimelo pi tanur shidofon ba'ashkol, because there was a small amount of this shidofon, this blighting of the crops, which has a very, very bad omen for the rest of the crops. This is going to be an ultimate destruction of the crops. Once it occurs in one place, it's going to spread out. And even though this was only in one place, in Ashkelon, which is in the area of the Plishtim, the five great Plishtim cities of those days, so one of them was Ashkelon, even though it was right next to Eretz Yisrael, wasn't even in Eretz Yisrael, this was something that the Zakenim in Yerushalayim said, we all have to be concerned, because if it happened over there in Ashkelon, it's unfortunately potentially going to happen to us as well. Another time, V'ol Gazru Tainis, another time they declared a Tainis for all of Klal Yisrael, Al She'ochlu Ze'evim Shnei Tinokos Be'Evar Yarden. Again, it was near Eretz Yisrael in the Evar Yarden, that part of Eretz Yisrael that is Evar Yarden, but not in the main body of Eretz Yisrael. And since two wolves ate two children, that's a simon from Shemaim that something is going on, and therefore the entire Klal Yisrael was told to go and fast and be Masriyan. Rav Yossi said it wasn't that they ate the children, not that they even ate the children. They saw wolves, which wasn't common in that area, and they saw them, so therefore they declared that this is something that is a very bad omen and portends terrible things for all of Klal Yisrael, and everybody has to go and fast in this situation, and everybody has to be Masriyan. Mishnah continues and tells us on Shabbos things are different. These are all on weekdays. There's no problems. You can blow shofar. You can fast. You can add anenu in the tefillos. No problem. But on Shabbos, there's a problem. You're not letting go and do certain things on Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us, al elu masriyim b'Shabbos. The following things, even on Shabbos, you're allowed to go and be masriya, which you normally wouldn't be allowed to do because this is such a serious, immediate calamity. You can't say, oh, we'll daven Sunday. You need to daven for this even on Shabbos. You need to do certain things even on Shabbos, such as alir sheikifu anachun. The goyim surrounded the city, so Nebuch, that city is going to be destroyed, so you're allowed to even be masriyan for this on Shabbos. Or nar, if the river is swelling up, there's going to be a flood, and Nebuch is going to swamp everything, so then this is also something, even on Shabbos, you can be masriya. Likewise, if you see a boat, ala svina, ha-mitarefes bayam, we said mitarefes is like a scrambled egg. You see the boat going up and down, it's being pushed around, and it's going to sink, so you're allowed to be soakin, you're allowed to be masriyim, even over here on Shabbos. So Rav Yossi qualifies this. Rav Yossi says, le'ezra, you're only allowed to call out over here for hatzola. You're only allowed to call out for people to help you against the enemy invaders, or to help you put in sandbags so the river doesn't overflow, or to go out to the boat and save the people on the boat. So you're allowed to be masriya, to call out, only to get help to come. However, v'lo l'tzaka, but not for tefillah. Shimon HaTimni adds another situation for which you would go and call out on Shabbos. Shimon HaTimni omer, if there's a plague going on, like we described previously, so on Shabbos you could even be masriyan for that, but v'lo hodu lo chacham, the chacham didn't agree with him on that. Then the Mishnah continues, I'll call tzara shelo tovu ala tzibur masriyan aleim chutz mirov gishamim. In general, it's not only famines that do a lack of rain, but in general, if there's any sort of a danger to the community, I'll call tzara, that it shouldn't come on the tzibur, we do this masriyan process. The one thing that you're not allowed to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask him to stop if there's too much rain, because rain is a bracha, and we don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop a bracha. And therefore, this Rov Gishamim is not dangerous, it's just uncomfortable. Okay, so the roads are muddy, so you're going to have to get soaked when you go outside, but that's not a reason to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop such a bracha, and therefore, for other tzaros, we are masriyim, but not for Rov Gishamim. And we'll see a maisa right now in the Mishnah that relates to this. Maisa, again, Maisa Shohaya, the famous story of Choni HaMa'agel. Everybody learns this story when they're a child, and here we'll see it now inside in the Gemara. Maisa Sharmalul Choni HaMa'agel. Choni HaMa'agel was a huge tzaddik, a Baal Mofes, and the people came to him and said, we're in the light of Tzara, Choni HaMa'agel. His Spalel, please daven on our behalf, share the Gishamim. There's no rain, and we need rain. So Choni HaMa'agel told all the people, okay, go. So, go out. Vachnisu tanure psochim bishul shlo yimoku. So he said, okay, I'm going to down for rain. The rain's going to come immediately. He was certain his tefillos would be answered, and therefore the rain would come. Now, the tanurim that they had were earthenware tanurim. If they got drenched in rain, they would fall apart. So he said, bring in your tanure pesach, the special ovens that they would make to prepare the carbon pesach, and roast it. So these were non-strong structures. They were temporary structures, but they would get melted if there was a lot of rain. So he told them, go bring in your tanure pesach from the yards, and this way, when the rain comes, it won't yimoku. It won't make them go and dissolve. No, Choni HaMa'agel does this. They all take in the tanurim, and spal, he goes and daven, but unfortunately, the rains don't come. Now, this is Choni Amago. Somebody else would have said, well, I guess they're not coming. So, may also, but what did Choni Amago do? Og Uga, he drew a circle. There are many discussions as to why he specifically did it. Uga. Uga, by the way, the Ben Yoda says, in Gematria is Mocho, which is a circle. And the circle represents this galgal hamisapeach, that sometimes there's wealth and sometimes there's poverty, and it's a constant cycle of life. And the many other reasons why as well, this imagery of a circle, that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to switch over here from the Midas HaDin to the Midas HaRachmim, to make a circle, so to say, in his seating location. In any event, so Choni Amagel draws this circle, Og Uga, the Amar B'socha, and he stands in the middle of this circle that he just drew, and he says, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribonu Shalom, God, Banecha Samu Pnei Malai, Shani Keben Bayis Lefanecha, your children, the Klai Yisrael, have come to me. Why they come to me? Because I'm like a ben bayis by you. I'm a regular dweller in your establishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a ben bayis. A ben bayis can get special things that other people can't have. Right? A child can control his father sometimes to do something that nobody else would be able to control the father to do. So Choni Amagel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your children, Klai Yisrael, have put their trust in me because I'm a ben bayis. I swear, nishbani, b'shim chagodah, by your great name, that I'm not moving from here. She'eni zoz mikan. I'm not moving from this circle. Until you have mercy and bring rain on Klai Yisrael. So, what do you think the response is? If it was me doing this, Kosh Baruch would be laughing, Kavi Yochel. So, Hizchilu Gishomim Menatvin. Immediately, the rains start to fall, but it's only Menatvin, a very small amount of rain, not enough to accomplish anything, but enough to, so to say, satisfy Choni Amago's swearing, I'm not leaving from this circle until the rains come. So you think Choni would now leave? No, he says, Amar. Choni says, that's not what I asked for. Lo kach shalti. I wasn't asking for little trickle of rain. I want rain. I asked for rain, Elor gishbe boros shichin moros, enough rain that it will fill up all the reservoirs of water. So people will have enough rain. It won't be dangerous. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers this time, Eskilu Leirid Bezaf. They come down, a storm. It comes down with anger, and it's going to be dangerous. Choni says, no, that's not what I asked for either. Omar, lo kach shalti. Again, Choni is able to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu this way. Only Choni Amagel, the one is going to question, how can you do this? But they'll say, again, Choni was Choni. So Omar, lo kach shalti. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's not what I asked for. I didn't ask for torrential rains. I asked for gishmei, elo gishmei rotzon, brocha unadava. I asked for good rains. Rains that are showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're giving us what we need. And that rains will be of brocha. And the rains will be the dava, a goodness, a kindness to us. And therefore, immediately, Yardu Kisiknon, the rains came and fell normally. And so much rain did fall, however, Achiyotzu Yisroel Yerushalayim Harabais, until the people had to go to high ground. The Harabais is higher than the rest of the lower Yerushalayim. And they went up to the Harabais, Mipnei Hagshamim, because of all this rain. And Bov Ramalo, people said, now, that's enough rain, Choni, thank you. Tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you very much. So they said to Choni, Kishem Shisbalalto Aleim Shiyerdu, Kachis Palo Shiyelchul Ahead. Please, you played, we got the rain. Baruch Hashem, we have enough rain. Now please ask God to stop it. But here's where this mice is brought in, because we just said that you're not allowed to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop Rov Gishomim. So Amalem, Choni said to them, Tzuru im nimcheis Evin HaToin. Go and see if the Evin HaToin. Evin HaToin is a stone that Rashi says, Haisav Yushalayim, V'chomisha of the Lo Aveda. The Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us anybody that lost something would go to that place and announce they lost something. Anybody that found something would go to that place and say, I found something. And they would give simonim and they would return it to its rightful owners. So this was called the Evin HaToin, and it was on a higher ground. So he said, go and see if the water's reached up to that high place. In other words, he's telling them, if the water hasn't reached up to that high place, then it's not dangerous and it's not something that I'm going to ask or be able to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop such rains. Others say that he was saying, see if that Evin HaToin has been effaced, if it's been wiped away because of the rain. If the rain is so strong that it wiped away this Evin HaToin, then we'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop. But since obviously that hasn't happened, so therefore we can't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop such Gishmei Bracha. And that's the Maisa that supports what we just said in the Mishnah, that you can ask for a Tzara to stop, except for Rov Gishamim. That you can't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's not really dangerous, and you don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop a Bracha. No, this Maisa was before some, it was very famous, and it displeased the leader of Klai Yisrael, Shimon ben Shetach. So Shimon ben Shetach sends the following message to Choni Amagel. Shalach lo, Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach sends to Choni Amagel, Choni the circle maker. So he tells him, Ilmoli Choni Ata, if it wasn't for the fact that you're Choni Amagel, you are so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would put you in Cherem. Gozrani Olecho Nidui. I would put you in Nidui, in Chayrim. However, what can I do? You sin, you do something, you act chutz v'dik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing you, he does exactly what you say. You are like a child, a child sometimes can get away with murder. So the child, because the father loves him so much, will let the child get away with something they would never tolerate from somebody else. So too, Shimon Meshetach tells Chon Yamago, what you did is wrong. Nobody should talk that way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what can I do? What can I say? You are like the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and va'osa lo ritzono, and he does exactly what you want. And he concluded with a vracha, va'olecha akosav omer. He says, about somebody as great as you, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, yismach avicha v'imecha, let your mother and father be very, very happy, and likewise, v'sogel yolatecha, the one who gave birth to you should be extremely joyous because they had a child like you, Choni HaMa'akel. In other words, as much as I'm not happy with what you did, you are the great Choni, and therefore you are a great source of nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he answers your tefillos. Then the Mishnah continues and says, what happens if they started these fairs? Hoyim Misanin, however, then Baruch Hashem, Yardu Lem Gishomim. And this occurred, called him an Eitz HaChava. They declared a fast day today, and they started fasting from Olos HaShachar, which is when the day starts, but Baruch Hashem, before Eitz HaChava, that 72 to 96 minute period of time afterwards, Baruch Hashem, it started to rain. So then the Mishnah says, Lo Yeshlimu, you don't have to go and complete the fast, because it didn't really start, because it wasn't yet the day in fullness, because the sun hadn't yet risen. However, if the sun already rose, L'achad Eitz HaChava, and then the rains came, so then you have to finish the fast, Yeshlimu. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kodum Chatzos, he says even further, if it rains come before Chatzos, then you don't have to fast. Lo Yashlimu. That's a good simon from Shemaim, and you don't have to finish the fast. But if the rains didn't come till after Chatzos, Le'acha Chatzos, then Yashlimu, then you do have to finish the fast day. Then the Mishnah concludes with one more Maisa. Maisa Shigazru Tainis Belod, the Yard Lem Gishom Kodum Chatzos. One time there was a lack of rain, and they declared a Tainis in the city of Lod, and then the rains came before Chatzos. So Omelem Rabbi Tavra told them, similar to what Rabbi Eliezer had just said, he said, Tzu, you can go back to your houses, the Ichlu Shusu, you can go back and eat and drink, the fast is over, Vasu Yantiv, and make yourself a Yantiv, this is a great day. The people did just that, the people went and V'yotsu, V'ochlu, V'shasu, they went to their houses and they ate and they drank, and the Yosu Yantiv made it into a great day. And then afterwards in the afternoon, Ubo Ben Arbaim, in the late afternoon, they came back to the shul, they davened, the Karu Halil HaGodo, Kapitul Kuflam Adbav, which is all the Hodul Hashem, Kito, Kili Olam Chasdo, the 26 praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kili Olam Chasdo, that's called Halil HaGodo, and the Gemara will discuss what exactly transpired in this case. And we now start the Gemara, this long Mishnah, now we start the Gemara. The Mishnah says, the question that I alluded to at the beginning, and I gave already the answer, but here's where the Gemara asked the question. It says, say the Tani Yoseilu Amor, the Revere Rishona. We're saying over here that if the rains didn't come after the Revere Rishona, so then you have to go and immediately fast. But we learned in the previous paragraph, Minu, Revere Rishona Ushnia Lishol, Ushlishish Lisanos. But we said previously that you have the whole series of fasts only if the rains, all three sets of the Revi'a Rishona didn't come. The first rains, the second rains, and the third rains. Remember, we had three different shittos as to when those rains occur in the various months, times in the month of Cheshvan. One even said even till Rosh Chodesh Kislev. But you waited till all three of those rains didn't come. And here in our Mishnah, it seems to imply Revi'a Rishona. So as I already explained, here's where the Gemara I got it from. Amar Yehuda says, this is what we have to understand our Mishnah in comparison to the previous parak. Say their tiny yos amur emasai bisman shiotsa revia rishona shnia ushlishis. The previous paragraph which talked about that you have the rains don't come, the first rains, the second rain, the third rains don't come. Then you start the yechidim going to be misanid, then the first three fasts, and the next three fasts, and the more serious seven fasts in the third round. So that's what that was referring to. If those rains don't come below yardu gashamim, so then we start that whole progression of more serious fasting as time goes on. However, avo yardu gishamim beviri rishona v'zaru v'lo tzomchu. But if the rains fell and then they started to plant, but the plants aren't growing because they need more rain, so then, or alternatively, inami tzomchu, they did grow v'chazu v'nishtana, but then they change. So then, masri and alimiyad, then you go and you start this whole procession of serious fasts immediately. You don't go through the ramping up, the Yechidim, then the three fasts, and the more serious three fasts, and then the seven serious fasts. Here you do that right away. So there's no contradiction between the first parak, which was the rains didn't come, so now you have to go the progression of fasts, as opposed to here, that the rains came, but the plants weren't growing, or the plants weren't growing right, where you have to be Masri and Aleihem Miyad. Rav Nachman adds, and he says, Dafku Nishtanu. It says specifically, if Tzomchu V'chazru V'nishtanu, but they grew, but then they changed. Only in that situation, Basrila Memiyat. Now, Rav Nachman is an Amora, and he's repeating exactly what the Mishnah seems to have said. So, what is Rav Nachman telling us? Rav Nachman, Dafku Nishtanu Avol Yovshu Lo. He's saying, only if they changed, then we are allowed to be Masri Miyad, but if they dried up, you can't go and do all these fasts, it's too late. So the Gemara says, Pshita, Nishtanu Tanan, what's Rav Nachman telling us? It says Nishtanu, so how is he adding on anything by saying it's only if Nishtanu, but not if Yovshu? As Rashi points out, in Yovshu, it's too late. It's a Tfilah Shav. The plants are dead. So you can't go and daven for a miracle. So that's a Tfilah Shav. So that's exactly what the Mishnah said. What is the Amora Rav Nachman adding on to the Mishnah? So Gemara says, no, he's adding on a Bichidish Lo Tzricha. He's teaching us in the case of the Akun. What does the Akun mean? Rashi says, Sha'olu b'koneh, shenisaknu ma'at li'acha shenisyavshu. No, after it dried up, it seemed to have a little bit of a growth. So I might have thought that this, the akun, is good enough that you should go and be masriya. Ma'alutema akanto milsi, that this akun, that this little bit of growth in the stalk, oh, that means that the crop still could survive, and therefore that you should be masriya on them. So the chiddush of Rav Nachman is no, kamashulon, that's a trila shav, that's a brachal of atola, because unfortunately this akun doesn't symbolize that it has a chance to still survive. It is dead, it's yavshu, and therefore you only go masriya if it just is nishtanu, but not if it's nisyashvu. That's what Rav Nachman's chiddush is. Then we quote the Mishnah, it says, we said if the rain stopped, and there was a 40-day period of time in between the rains that came, and no new rains came in 40 days, so that's also, you have to call out immediately, because that's very dangerous. And then it said that this is a makas bitzoris. My makas bitzoris, what does that mean, it's a makas bitzoris? So as I explained, the review of the Amarab, maka hemeviya lidei bitzoris. If you don't have rains in 40 days, it's going to lead to a famine, because the crops will not be able to survive. Rav Nachman tells us, what are some of the parameters for knowing if something is considered a serious famine or not? So Omer of Nachman, he tells us, if you cannot get food in your city, but if you go down the river, you can get food over there. Naro anahara, so by traveling via the boats, which was a relatively easy way to travel and bring significant amount of supplies, so we turn to your Yitesomit Beis, so that's called a batzorta, that's called a famine, but it's not so serious yet that you'd be calling out and making masri miyad. However, medinasa, amedinasa, if you can't get food, even from the next Medina over, it's really a true lack of food, so then kafna, that's called a real famine, and that's something that's very, very dangerous. Similarly, Yomar Chanina, Sa'ah b'sela, if you can purchase a saw's worth of wheat for a sela, ushchicha, but, even though that's a lot of money, but you can do it, it's available. No, the prices are high, there's inflation, but it's available. And that's only called batzarta, that's called a famine, a less severe situation. However, if it's very cheap, but you can't get it, arba, you can actually get four saw just for that one sela. So it's very cheap, but lo shchicha, you can't find it anywhere. That's called serious. That's called kafna. That's a famine already. Furthermore, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo shanu, we only said this, ele bizman shamos bizo, that's when money is around. In other words, the money is available. People aren't without money. However, uperos bioker, the food is very expensive. But if you have the situation, apomos bioker, Operos bizal, if the money is very, very scarce, even though the fruit is not very expensive, peros bizal, then that's problem. Masri and olam yad, because the Omer of Yochanan, here you go and go and be Masri right away, because Rav Yochanan said, Nihirna, I remember once that it was, that kad havu kaime dalid saw in the cellar, you could get four saw of grain for just the cellar, which was a very inexpensive price. However, nevertheless, it was a real terrible disaster. Vahavu nefishe, there were many, many nefihe kofun bitveria, midales isar. There were many, many people with swollen bellies because of this famine that was occurring in Tveria, because they didn't even have an Isar, never mind the Sela, they didn't even have an Isar. And the belly swells up when a person is starving, there's no protein in the body, and therefore the fluids, what we call extravasate into the third spaces, because you don't have the protein holding the fluids inside it. That's why you paradoxically get a big belly. It looks like you're a balbosa. It looks like Nebuch. You see the pictures of the children starving in Africa or in other places where there's no food, and you see these children with these big bellies. That's just all swollen water that came out of their cells because they never have no protein because they're starving. Then we quote the Mishnah where it said, Yardu litzmachim avavu li'ilon, if it rains enough for the tzmachim, but not for the trees, or it rains for the trees, but not for the tzmachim, or not enough for the boros shichinim aros to fill up, so all of these are masrim miyat. Now, Bishlam, I can understand that if it was enough rain, litzmachim avavu li'ilon, how could that be? That mishkachzol, that's very, very prevalent, the also nicha, but lo also razia, that you have a little bit of rain, which is good for the grain, but it's not good enough for the trees. It didn't come down with a significant enough force for the trees to benefit. They need more rain than the tvua. Okay, and the other way around, you also understand, li'ilon velo litzmachim, I can understand how you can have rain that was good for the trees, but not good for the tzmachim, because the asir razia comes down strong, lo asinicha, it doesn't come down lightly, and it could destroy the crops, albeit the trees are happy. And I can understand, lezeh, that you had good rain for the crops and good rain for the trees. It comes down both of them. Avol, not enough. Avol lo leboros, lo leshich, lo lemaros, but not enough to fill up all the different types of reservoirs. Because mishkachzlo the asir razvenicha, you had the light rains for good for the crops, and you had heavier rains for good for the trees, but not enough. Miu tuva lo asya, you didn't have enough rains to fill up all the reservoirs. So those I can understand. But how could it possibly be elohad de tanya that it says you can have enough rains yordu leboros leshich lemaros, you can fill up all the reservoirs, but it wouldn't be good for the tzmach and the ilan? How could that possibly be? Avol lo lezeh. What scenario could that occur? The more gives the obvious teretz, the asio b'shifichusa. It comes down in a huge marble. It comes down with such force. You have a tornado, you have a monsoon, so it destroys all the trees and the crops. Okay, the wells are all filled up. All your reservoirs are filled up, but that's not good for them. So if any of these occur, that's masriyimiyah. Now we learn the following brayso. Torah Rabbanan. Masriyin, we go and cry out, Al ha'ilonos b'fros ha'pesach. If there's not enough rain for the trees by Pesach time, so then we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu masriyin at Pesach time. Then we'll follow the girsa of both the Bach and the Gro. They keep on deleting the word afilu, because the word afilu is probably a mistake that cropped in, because it's going to have the word afilu in the upcoming Gemara, so somehow the editors put it in over here, but it's a mistake. So they also would be able to be masriyin immediately if you didn't have enough rains, ala borus v'shichin ma'aros b'fros achag, by Sukkot time, if you didn't have enough rain, so then you would go and cry out immediately. Now, the normal way we translate chag means Sukkot time, but there are those that say that this means Shavuos. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, and we delete the words al kulan as well, v'in ein lehem mayim lishtos, if you don't have enough water, the boros, shichin, maros aren't filled up at any time, masriin alem yad, then you're allowed to go and call out. And this, the chiddush over here, is even if it's in the months where you don't have rain, Rashi says. So you normally wouldn't be able to ask for a miracle, so here you're allowed to, because it's pikuach nefashos. And masriin alem yad, you'd be allowed to call out even when you're not expecting the rains, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring the rains. Beizu miyad shalahen, what is the definition over here of miyad? It means you declare a fast, sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Again, the bahag, so we shouldn't be mafkiya the sharm if we started it on a different day, like a Thursday. And furthermore, the Gemara says, v'al kula ne masriin aleyem, for all of these things, right, she says, kula, and everything that we just mentioned, we aren't masriya unless, ella be'ifarakia shalahem, only in that shtot, only in that area. Rashi says, but also malchus shekolu sham meborus shichin morus. Only in that place where there's no water, so in that place they are masriyim miyad. Now, furthermore, he says, "Bizman sheyesh b'misa, if there is nevach death that's coming out masriyin olel, then we can also go and yell out right away." And that demonstrates obviously that there's a serious concern. However, bizman sheyesh b'misa, ain't masriyin olel. But whatever this calamity is, it hasn't caused death, then we don't do this masriyin immediately, because it isn't such a tremendous risk right now that we do this masriyan process. Then the Brisa continues, umasriyan, but you should always be masriya, even if there's no death, ala guvai b'choshu. Even a small amount of these guvai. Guvai is a certain type of locust. Rashi says they always come with tremendous amounts. So even if you only see a couple of them, it's only a matter of time before a lot of them come. And they are machales atur, Rashi says. So even if you have a little bit, afilu no nira elikitsas, even if you only see a handful of these gubai, biadua, you know, you can take it to the bank, shasidin level rope, that they're going to come with plenty. As opposed to avol chogov, that other type of locust called chogov, the many different types of locusts, the type of locust called gubai, they're a problem even if there's a few of them. But the chogov, if you only have a little bit, that's mostly, that's normal. Veino mechal is called kach ka'arbe. It's not going to be like the arbe, like the gubai, that destroys everything. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, this Raisa, but Rosh Hashanah says no. Omer afal chagav. Even if you see a couple of chagav, that's a sign of bad things to come, and you're masriya right away. Tana run another brisa. It says masriyin alo ilanos. If the rains are not enough for the trees, so then you're allowed to go and masriya, as we just said. However, you only do this bishar shnei shavua, only in the normal 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, but not in the Shemitah year, because the trees aren't considered yours that year, so we don't call out. However, alaboros, alashich, alamoros, but to have reservoirs of water, then even in the Shemitah year, afilu b'shvius, and certainly in the other years, you're masriyan miyat. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. He says, Omer, even al hoilanos, af al hoilanos b'shvius, even in the Shemitah year, you can call out for rain for the trees. Why? Because people that have nothing else, so they rely upon whatever may be growing on these hefker trees, and therefore they're allowed to be masriya for them. Likewise, Tanyidach, another brisa says, Masriyin alo ilonos b'shar shnei shavua. Here it says b'feirish that you only call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masriyin for the trees, for the water, during the 6 years of the Shemitah cycle, but not during the Shemitah year itself. Alaboros, alashich, alamoros, afilu b'shvius. But in the seventh year, and certainly in the other years, you can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain to fill up the reservoirs, because rain is something you need even during the Shemitah year. Talking here about the rain for the reservoirs that people need to drink. And again, over here, Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, afalo ilanos, even in the Shemitah, you can masriin for the trees because people get benefit from them. And masriin al hasvichin b'shvius, and you likewise can go and be masriya for the svichin. Those are the spontaneous growths that occur in the Shemitah year, even though the hefker, there are people that rely upon them for food. Because the poor people that have nothing else, that's what they live off of, and therefore the Brisa says you can ask for that even during the Shemitah year. Another brisa, Tanya, on Rabbi Loza ben Perota. Rabbi Loza ben Perota says, Nebuch miyom shechar beis hamikdash nasu gishomim tzimukin le'olam. Tzimukin are raisins, so it means they're shriveled up. And he says, Nebuch, from the time that the beis hamikdash was destroyed, the bracha that was brought into the world because of the tefillos and korbanos of the beis hamikdash left the world. The beis hamikdash Nebuch was destroyed. And the Gemara elsewhere tells us many, many things changed after the destruction of the beis hamikdash. The fruits don't taste as good. They're not as big, etc. So too, he says, the rains have dried up and don't bring rain to the world as it did previously during the times of the beis hamikdash. Then the Brisa adds, Yeshana shegishamel merubim. There are some years where the Baruch Hashem is a lot of rain. And Yeshana shegishamel muatim. And there are other years where the rain is not as plentiful. Furthermore, the Brisa says, Yeshana, there are those years, Shegeshameha Yardim Bismanan, that the rains come, whatever rains there are, they come at the right time. And there are other years, Veshana, She'en Geshameha Yardim Bismanan, the rains don't come at the right time. What's this an example of? Shana, Shegeshameha Yardim Bismanan, Lamahu Domer, to what is that analogous to rains that come at the right time? That's like Le'evet, a servant, Shenasan Lo Rabo, that his master gives him Parnasa, Be'echa B'Shabbos. The person gets his wages on the first day of the week, on Sunday, and therefore he has plenty of time to prepare for Shabbos. Oh, that's geschmack, that's good. Nimsis, therefore, turns out, Esau nefes kesikna, he has plenty of time to bake the bread properly, he buys the dough, bakes the bread, v'nechales kesikna, and therefore he can eat it properly. However, analogous to the situation of Shana she'en gishomer yardim bizmano lamudome, what's the analogy for a year where the rains aren't coming in the right time? What's that analogous to? That's unfortunately le'evet shenasa lo rabo parnososo be'er Shabbos. That's like you get the parnosa Friday afternoon real late. That's when you get your paycheck. Until then, you haven't had a chance to do anything to prepare for Shabbos. And now you're running around like a chicken without a head. Ninza isa nefis. Yeah, you're baking the dough, but it's not done well. You rushed it. Shelo kesikna. And therefore, v'nechales shelo kesikna. It's not eaten properly because everything's in a rush. So that's the analogy if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does bring the rains in the right time. Similarly, Shana Shigeshamel Merubin Lamahodomer, we said that this year there could be plenty of rain. So what's that analogous to? So the Eved, Shinosan Lorabo Parnasoso Bavasachas. That's when you get the entire salary up front right at once, and therefore you can know exactly how much money you have and you can spend it appropriately. And Imsu Rechayim Tochanos Min Hakor, Masha Tochanos Min Hakav. And therefore you can go and grind up all of your grain in the millstone at the same time. Now there's a certain amount of the grain that gets lost every time you grind. So whether you grind, let's say, 10 bushels or 1 bushel, you're going to have a certain loss, let's say, of a quarter of a bushel. I'm making up these numbers. So every time you grind, you lose a quarter of a bushel. So it's obviously much more beneficial if you can grind 10 bushels and you're going to lose a quarter bushel than to grind 10 times 1 bushel and you'll lose 10 times as much of the product, because each time you grind, you lose a certain set amount. So therefore, it's much more beneficial if you have all your money up front, you can buy all your grain up front, and you can grind it all up front, and therefore you'll have a smaller loss. So that's what it's called, kishamel merubim. That's a good idea. And therefore, you're left with a lot more usable grain, and you'll have much more grain than if you ground it up in small little allotments. And you'll have same amount of grain that you can produce, dough, from a core, just like if you had it from a cob, because you'll have so much less wastage. But a year, when Nebuch, there isn't a lot of rain. So what's that comparable to? That's levish. That's when you get a little bit of money at a time. You buy a little bit of grain at a time, and you have to grind it up. But each time, you're losing that quarter of a bushel in my made-up example. So you're ending up losing so much, so you get the same amount of usable grain, a much smaller amount when you're grinding it up in little bit allotments rather than all at once. And therefore, nimzis iso kamo shenechas min akar v'chas min akav. So you're only getting the same amount of grain that you would normally get from a cob. You're still getting only that small amount, even though you're grinding up a core, because you're grinding up slowly and you're losing a tremendous amount each time. Alternatively, dover acher bisman shegishomel merubim. What do we mean when we say that there's a lot of rain? L'mahodom, what's the analogy to? L'odom shemegabel esatir, a person who's going and he's making his clay, he's making the mud into clay. So im yesh l'mayim rabim, if he has enough water, so then he can make it into a good clay. Mayim einon kolin, the water doesn't get used up, he has enough of it, v'atit mugu v'yofa, and he's able to knead the clay very, very well, and he has a good product. However, im yesh l'mayim mu'atim, if he has only a little bit of water, so it gets absorbed in the mud, it gets absorbed in the dirt, mayim kolin, the water's used up, v'atit einon miskal v'yofa, but you don't have a good product yet. So again, the beneficence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when he gives it to us the rain in the right time and in a large amount. Bryce continues with a famous, famous story. Tana Rabbanan, Pam Achas Olu Kol Yisrael, the Regel Yerushalayim. One time, all Kol Yisrael was going up Aliyah LeRegel to Yerushalayim, and they needed water, and they didn't have water. There wasn't enough water in all the reservoirs, and people would be hesitant to come up to Yerushalayim if there wasn't water. So what happened? This great, great tzaddik, Holach Nakdimon Ben Gurion, we'll see why his name is Nakdimon at the end of the story. So this person whose name was Buni, but he was called Nakdimon, so Holach Nakdimon Ben Gurion, Eitzel Odon Echod, he went to a guy, certain guy, rich guy, who was an Odon, Amalo, and he said to him, you have lots of water in your reservoirs, Halveni, Shtemis Re Mainos, Mayim Loli Rigolim, please lend me 12 wells worth of water, and I will pay you back. And this will, the people, the only regal will be able to use the water. I will return it at the end of the Chag. And at the end, I'll pay you back the 12 wells of water that you gave us over here. The Marsha explains the 12 wells symbolizes the 12 Shvatim. And as a chus of the Shvatim of Chai, so the rains would come. So that's what he told him. And he added on, and I'll tell you, if I don't fill up your wells with water, I'll fill them up with silver. Much better for you if they're filled with silver than if they're filled with water. And they arranged this deal, a kabbal osman, they said, by such and such a time, if the rains don't come, the deal will be sealed that I'll pay you silver instead of the rain. Nu, kiva shegiya hazman v'lo yodu gushamim. Nu, the time came for the payment of water to occur, and Nakdimon had no water. V'lo yodu gushamim. It hadn't rained, so how was he going to give him the water? So on Shachus of that morning, Mishachus, that morning Shachus, this Goyisha Odon sent to Nakdimon, Shalach Lo, Shagar Li, Omayim, Omos, Shiesh Li Biyodcha. Go and pay me back. Either pay me back with the water, like we agreed, or with the silver, like we agreed. You have to give me what you have in your hand, either water or silver. So it's Shachus time. Shalach Lo, so Nakdimon said, I got plenty of time. I got the rest of the day. Kolayom Kulu, Shalihu. I have all day to pay you back, so don't rush me. Now, it hadn't rained in a long time, so this was extremely unlikely that there was going to be rain. But Sarayim, midday, he sends to him this Goyish Odom sends to him and says, Nu, Shagali, send to me, or the water, or the silver, Sheish Libyokha, that you owe me, that's mine, that's in your possession. So again, Nakdimon sends him back, I got plenty of time, there's still plenty of time left in the day for me to get you back the water. Now it's mincha time. B'mincha, now there's only a couple of hours left in the day. B'mincha, sholach lo, he sends to Nakdimon ben Gurion, shagali mayim omos, send me the water or the money, sheyesh li biyocha, that you have of mine. You owe me this money. And again, Nakdimon says, sholach lo, adayin yesh li shos bayom. It's still mincha time. There's an hour or two left in the day. I will get you the rain. Don't you worry. I'll get you the water. Don't you worry. This Goyish Odon laughs at him and he says, Omar, he says, all year long, absolutely no rain has come. This is a drought. And we turn to Chof Amud Aleph. And you really think that it's going to rain in this 1 hour, enough to fill up my 12 wells? Ha! He laughed at him. He goes into the bathhouse. Now, this is adding insult to injury. I got plenty of water still. I'm going to go take a bath. and he went to his bathhouse, besimcha, in great happiness, because he knows that he has enough water for himself, so he doesn't need the water, and he's going to get 12 reservoirs filled with silver, so he'll have both water and silver. He's sitting pretty. Nu, what happens? So we have this parallel event occurring. This Adon, this Gresh Adon, going into his bathhouse in great joy, and at the same time, Nachdimo goes to the Beis HaMikdash in a very sad, depressed state. He's very sad because he's going to lose all of his money. And he doesn't want to do that. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nis'ate b'yom ha'tefillah, he goes and wraps himself in his talis, and he stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. And he says, Amar lefano, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel olam, galui v'yadu alefanecha. You know what's bochein kloyos v'lev. You know what I was thinking. Shel olam l'chvod yosi. See, I didn't do this so I'd be the guest of honor at the next dinner. I didn't do this so people say, wow, look at Nachdima, what a great tzaddik he is. You know why I did this. I did this so that people would be older regal. V'lo l'chvod beis abos. He said, I didn't do this so that my house would be praised. Oh, look at his father. Look at this house, the Nachdima Ben Gurion. That's not why I did this. You know, Ela lekvodcha, Sisi, I did this purely to honor you, that there should be people in the Beis HaMikdash v'aliyas regel, because otherwise nobody would come because there's no water. I did this lekvodcha, Sisi, shiyu mayim mitsuyim lo'le regolim, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me out immediately, miyad. Niskashu shemayim be'ovit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes clouds comes, and a marble comes down. The yordu gishamim, the rains come, ach nismalu shteim esrei minus mayim vosiru, until the wells that were filled up, the 12 wells were filled up, and then overflowed, and he had even more water. Now, ach yotzu odom ibeis amechutz, meanwhile, the odom comes out of the bathhouse thinking he's going to get all these 12 wells worth of silver, and he sees that it's pouring rain. Nakdim and Megur, yotzu ibeis amechutz, they go out together from each of their places. The Adam goes out from his bathhouse, and Nachdima goes out from the Beis HaMikdash, and they meet up with each other. So they meet up with each other. So Amalo, Nachdima says to this Adam, no, I paid you back more, right? The wells were up to a certain line in the wells, and now it overflowed. So you owe me. Ten li, demei mayim yoser, sheish li miyodcha. I gave you back more water than you deserved, so you have to pay me for the extra water that I gave you. Amalo, this Goyish Adam says, listen, I understand. Yodiani, I know. Shalom Hirish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Olamo El B'Shulcha. This marble that just came down, this thunder and lightning and all the rain that just came down, I know it was because of you. It was totally extraordinary, and it was an ace. However, sorry, Charlie, El Adayin Yeshli Piskon Pelecha. I still have an argument against you, because look how dark it is outside. You didn't pay me back by the end of the day. It's already nighttime, so it's the next day, and therefore you lost. So therefore you still owe me all the silver. Shekvar Shokochama, because it's nighttime and the wells weren't filled up before the nighttime. Ugisham and Birshusi Ardu, and the rains happened to come. Hey, my good luck that they came, but it had nothing to do with you. So what happens? Chazav nichnas the Beis HaMikdash. Nachdimo quickly runs back inside the Beis HaMikdash. He puts back on his talis, the sate, v'omer betvila, and he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, v'omer lefon every bono shalom. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ho dash yesh lecho ahuvim yolam echa, let it be known that there are people in this world that you love. In other words, show this Goyish Adon that it's still daytime, and that you did me a toiva on behalf of Klai Yisrael. And immediately, miyad nispazru of him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the storm go away, and you can still see that the sun is still out. Vizor chachama, and the sun pierces through the clouds. And Ba'osu Shah, at that moment, Nachdimo comes out of the Beis HaMikdash, he meets up again with his Goyish Adon, and Ba'osu Shah, Amalo Adon, the Adon says to him, I'm amazed at you. Ilu lo nikdiru hachama, hoyali pislam pelecha. If the sun hadn't shined through as it did right now, Itaka would have had an argument against you. I could have opened my mouth against you and said, you owe me the money. Sha'otzi mimcha mosai, and I could have gotten my money back from you. But what can I do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown that there are loved ones in this world, like you had said, and I agree that you pay me back in time. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, commenting on this story, Lo Nachdimo Shmo, his name really wasn't Nachdimo. Elo Buni Shmo, his name was Buni. His father, whose name was Gurion, I'm not sure if that's the name where Ben-Gurion got his name from, the modern Ben-Gurion, but in any event, Gurion was his father's name, and he called him Buni at his bris. So he says, V'lomo Nikro Shmo Nachdimo. So why did it now name become Nachdimo and Ben-Gurion? She-Nikdiro Chamo Ba'avuro, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu pierced the sun through the clouds. He made the clouds go away, and you could see the sun, and therefore we call him Nachdimo. Others have the gears over here, shenikdima chama bavuro, that the sun stayed in the east. In other words, it didn't set in the west, but it stayed up in the sky. And that's why it's called nakdima, because of this lashon of nikdima, not nikdira. Both of them, though, are the same idea. What a phenomenal story. And with this, we conclude today's shiur.